I appreciate this watering trough up here, amen. Last time I taught, I didn't know if that had been used or not. I didn't want to drink somebody else's spit, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I want to talk to you this morning on this subject. They were all in one place. They were all in one place. Now, before I read the scripture that I'm going to read, I want everybody to look up here and everybody listen. I am a simple-minded man. I cannot do what the preacher does, and I can't do what Jordan does. I cannot do verse after verse. It's not in me. I don't have the intellect to do that. But I'm one of those fishermen and carpenters that God called. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you can see that verse that's right there? Can you see it from the back? Can you see that, Mike? The verse that's right there on the Lord's Supper table? Oh, you can see something there. Well, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, that's a precept. That's a principle in the Bible. Now, I can understand that. And I can preach that. God is my helper. And that verse right there has got me through every trial I've ever been through. Amen? But now, when it comes to verse by verse by verse, I cannot do that. I can take a principle, I can take a thought, a truth out of God's Word, study that where it's found in the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept, here it is, there it is, there it is. I can teach that way. But as far as verse by verse, I can't do that. But if God can use a preacher, and would be pictured as the Apostle Paul, as the theologian, he can also use me as a lowly fisherman like Peter and John and so on and so forth. Amen? But like I said the last time I was here, we all need that. You know, I don't remember if I shared this with you the last time I was here. I told a little bit about my testimony. But, and if I'm repeating myself, you just, you know, when you get old, you get senile. Amen? But the verses that God used, and I didn't write them down, but the verses that God used to assure me that He could use me when He called me was when the Pharisee said, you know, these are ignorant and unlearned men. But it's evident, and I'm paraphrasing, that they had been with Jesus. Now, when I read that verse, as God was dealing with me about preaching, I knew then that God could use me. I knew He could. And then this verse right here that's in front of us this morning on the Lord's Supper table has allowed me to do what God has called me to do all these years. Now, I'll talk to you on this subject this morning. Now, I want you to help me now. I'm going to ask you to talk back to me. They were all in one place. Now, say that together. They were They were
all in one place.
All right, now, before I read the scripture, I want to introduce this little Bible study that I've got tonight or this morning. We are here because we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Inspired, preserved for the English-speaking people. We believe that. We're in one place on that subject. Everybody say amen. We believe in the old-time religion. We believe that, all the doctrines of the Bible, the reason we come to this church is because of what the church is. So we're all in one place on that. The standards, the conviction, the zeal, the outreach, the soul winning, the track ministry, we all agree with that. We all agree that there's this definite distinction between men and their responsibility and women and their responsibility. We believe that or we wouldn't be here. Amen. Now, I don't know if I shared this the last time I taught Sunday school here, but when I was coming down the mountain the last day of the Bible conference last year, I had the personal presence of God in my life, of my prayer life and reading the Bible, but I needed God's presence collectively. One of the greatest things in the Christian life is if I'm down and you're up, you can bring me up. And as we meet together, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, the more you see the day approaching. I cannot tell you how important for a place where God's presence is and where God's people are, and they believe right and they're doing right, and they're all in one place. And then when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in and fill this room with His presence, that's what I needed. So I was coming down the mountain begging the Lord, "Lord, I want to find Your presence again." Yeah. I was looking for a church where I could find God's presence, where I could feel God's presence. And when I came here on that last night of the Bible conference, this room was filled with His presence. Now, why? Why? Because everybody that was here, it wasn't just our church, it was a whole bunch of people. They were all in one place as far as what they believed. You understand that? We don't have... Hey, look, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to understand something. We're all in one place in our basic beliefs and attitudes and about the Bible and salvation by grace and baptism after salvation. We all agree on that. We're all in one place on that. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. Now watch this. There's one area that we need to all get in one place on. That's what I'm going to try to share with you this morning, this thought. They were all in one place. So in a lot of different areas, in most of what we believe, everybody in this room this morning, we're all in the same place on the basic convictions and truths about the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now watch this. They were all in one place. Now take your Bible in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Jesus had not ascended, but He was getting ready to. And He was commissioning the apostles. And this is where I'm going to get my thought from. Verse number 8, we're going to read down through verse number 15. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner," amen, "as you have seen Him go into the heavens." Now watch this. This is where I'm going to, next two verses, where I'm going to get my thought from. "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which from Jerusalem was a Sabbath day journey. And when they were all come in, they went up into the upper room." They were all in one place. "Where both abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon." Somebody pronounce that word. Say it again. Zealots. "And Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Now, everybody look up here and everybody listen. There was 120 people in that upper room. And they had all things in common. They were all in one place physically, just like we're in one place this morning physically right here. They were all in one place. But they had all things in common spiritually, and they were waiting and praying for the coming of the Spirit of God, and they did. 120 people in that upper room. Now watch this. They were all in one place and one accord praying. Now look. We can have more of the presence of God if we'll all get in one place about praying for God to meet with us and stir us. Now, here's my personal testimony about the presence of God. I need God to stir me when I come to church. I need God to move in my heart and stir me when I come to church. You say, why? Well, I'm on my conclusion today at the end of my Sunday school lesson. I'll tell you why. But I need God to stir me, and you ought to want God to stir you. And if we were all praying to that end, we would have this room get fuller and fuller and fuller as far as the presence of God is concerned. Now, I like what we have, amen. I like what we have. Praise the Lord. Now, when you... people that are carnal and worldly are not going to enjoy our church. They're going to want to be entertained. We don't have that here. We come into His presence with singing. And that singing of these old songs and these old hymns generates thanksgiving and praise, which is worship. Amen. And then it begins to stir our hearts and knit our hearts together. We have all these things in common. And so I thank God for who we are and what we are. And if we were, if you weren't what you are, I wouldn't be here. Now let me share this with you. My hopefully future granddaughter-in-law. I told my grandson if he messed this up, I was going to kill him. But anyway, I watched her life, Lacey's life. And I thought, man, I got to go meet that preacher. I got to go. I got to visit that church. That's what I'm after. Amen? I watched her life and her standards and how she lived and how she carried herself. And I called Brother Gammons. I said, tell me about this preacher over there. He said, man, he's straight as a stick. I said, they got any standards? He said, yes, sir, they got standards. And so I decided I was going to come. Amen. And boy, when I got here, was I pleasantly pleased. You are what I wanted. Now, I'm one of y'all, amen. Ugly as I am, I'm one of y'all, amen. All right, now watch this. Watch this. The key of the blessings and the power of God is for us to be together in the same place praying. In the same place praying. Now, just like when I was going down the road, whatever night all that snow was coming. Now, I was paying attention to what I was doing there as far as my job is concerned. But occasionally, I would think about something or some individual or the church services or what was going to happen on Sunday. And I'd ask God to bless. I was praying for God not only to bless me and to help me, but for God to bless you and to provide for you and to open up your heart to the truth when Sunday school was taught or when the preaching took place, that God would move on your heart like I wanted God to move on my heart. Amen. I want God to stir me. I do not want to come to church and not be moved. And you shouldn't either. Hey, look, if God don't stir you when you come to this place, there's something wrong. Hey, you ought to come down to the altar and ask God what's the matter with you. That God did not speak to you during Sunday school, that God didn't move on your heart. It ain't God, and it ain't the Bible, and it ain't the preacher. Pardon my grammar. It's you. Yeah, man. I'd get concerned if God didn't speak to me. Lord, I don't know what it is. You forgive me. David confessed that he asked God to forgive him his secret faults. If God don't stir me, there's something wrong with me. And if God don't stir you, no matter how spiritual you are or how long you've been in the race, it's you. God's words plainly promises in Isaiah it won't come back unto him void. It will do what it's sent forth to do. Now, what does that mean? That means if it don't speak to you, something's wrong with you. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, that's right. Now, I'm going to take my coat off. I hope I don't offend you. Good. Now, you say, all right, now watch this. We need to be all in one place, in one mind, in one accord, praying.
this was a physical location they were here in Acts chapter 1, but the key is they were all in one place praying. Now, I can be at my house, and you can be at your house, and you can be at work, and I can be at work, and we can be all over the community, but we can be praying to the end that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. We can all be in one place praying for the move of God on us and our services, that He will meet with us, and this room will be filled with His presence. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come as a mighty rushing wind. Now, He ain't going to come like that anymore. He came one time, that was it. He's here. He's here. Now, if we want Him to move on our church and on us, we got to stay in one place and pray into that end that God will speak to us. Now, if I'm praying that God will speak to me and you're praying that God will speak to you and we're all praying that God will speak to everybody else, then we're going somewhere. If you understand that, say amen. Hey, guess what? There's another promise in the Bible I like. If you have not, you have not because you ask not. Now, I want God to stir me. And I pray to that end. My prayer list. First thing on it, top left-hand corner, confess your sin. Right out from that on the same page. It's a page that looks just like this. My prayer list looks just like that. But now watch this. On the top right-hand corner, oh, God, I need You. I've said that prayer, that simple little prayer, tens of thousands of times, God, I need You. And the sad thing about the Christian life, once you know a little Bible and you can quote a verse or two and you understand a few of the basic doctrines in the Bible, you get overconfident and you don't think you need God. You start looking down your nose at others that hadn't got to where you've got yet instead of realizing what you need, more of God. Amen. The closer you get to God, the more you're going to be like Jesus. The closer you get to God, the more sinful you'll realize you are. Hey, man, when the preacher says, you know, when he talks about how sinful that he is, he's not talking that he's living in sin or that he's practicing sin. He's been up close to Jesus, and when you get up close to Jesus, you realize how wicked you really are. Amen? So it ain't that he's, when he mentions stuff about how sinful he is, he's not saying that he's living in sin or walking in sin. He's spent time with Jesus, and Jesus has revealed to him, just like He did to Job, what sinful people we really are. Amen. Now watch this. I was looking at that second hand and it said 20 minutes till, and I thought, man, you've got to be crazy. Amen. Now watch this. I'm going to get to my points here in a second. Now watch this. If we are in one mind and one accord praying, no matter where we are, we'll get results. The only thing that's keeping God's presence from being sweeter than it already is, is us praying and asking to stir our hearts, to stir each other hearts, to bless the preacher. Amen. That's the only reason we ain't got more of him is because we ain't asked. Hey, look, I got this in my outline. Let me go ahead and throw it in here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said He'd be in the midst. Now, according to that verse, He's in the midst right now. But that don't mean He's going to move. Now, He wants to move, but His movement and His power and His fullness is conditional. Prayer. Now, let me illustrate. Now, so, some of you, my culture is a little bit different from your culture. I've never met a stranger, and I don't have to watch you for 6 months to find out whether I like you or not. My culture is not that way. I love everybody. There's just some I don't like, but I love everybody. But I can talk to anybody. But now watch this. There's a verse in the Bible and a teaching in the Bible. If you don't worship God and praise Him like you ought to, the gravel outside and the asphalt and the rocks around in the yard, and they're going to play it. God's going to see to it that Jesus gets praised. Now, when I read that verse as a new Christian and I learned that, I thought, Lord, have mercy. If I don't worship Him aright, if I don't thank Him and praise Him and lift up holy hands toward heaven, the rocks outside is going to praise Him when I should be doing it. Now, what happens is we get dignified and we get educated and we think somebody, what would they think? I could care less what you think about how I worship God. Right. Now, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, look, I just can't get over the fact He saved me. I can't get over the fact before the foundation of the world He knew me. Before the foundation of the world He loved me. And then He demonstrated that love when He died on the cross. And I accepted that by faith. And now I'm saved. And I just can't get over that. Amen. I just can't get over that. So if my simple country worship makes you nervous, what you need to do is just get your feet wet, amen. You'll be amazed what it'd do for you if you'd shed a tear while you're in church. You'll get amazed for you what God could do for you if you'd slip out amen once in a while. I mean, you can do it like this, you know, where nobody will know. You know, bend over where nobody will know who said it, amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, the rocks outside going to get to worshiping God if we don't worship God. If you don't do what God wants you to do, the rocks are going to do it. So it don't matter what your education is, how much money you got, how dignified you are. We're supposed to worship God. It may be a raised hand. It may be an amen. It may be a hallelujah. It may be a tear running down the side of your face. But if you don't worship God the way God expects you to worship Jesus, the rocks outside is going to. You remember that story in the Bible? See, who was it? When trying to think of his name, Old Testament story. Where I think it was where the 300, and he said, Lord, open his eyes, and he seen the host. Who was it? Show him the host. Now, the host is outside. The gravel and the rocks that's in these blocks is praising God whether you do or not. But I decided early on, they're not going to be worshiping for me yet. Now, I decided that. Now, look. Education. Status. Has nothing to do with you worshiping God. You just need to do it. All right, now, watch this. You might rub off on somebody else. I know they were all in one what? No, one place. They were all in one what? Place. They were all in one place. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that they were praying. And we don't have to be in a physical location like we are this morning. We can be all over our community praying for the same end. Have you got that? Say amen. All right, now, watch this. Watch this. The key to a spiritual moving of God on a church is its members all being in the same place asking God to meet with them. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God to speak to you, me. I want God to meet with us. I want God to bless us. Why? I want to go home and walk that door and say, man, it's good to be at church today. Now, there's some things if you'll notice. Brother Brad comes up here and pours his heart out to God. Because he got in a fight with his wife on the way to church. Asking God to give him leadership and power about the songs. Then you got the preacher praying for you, me praying for you, others is praying for you, that God would speak to your heart, bless you, and move on. See, now I don't know all of you's names. I'm terrible with names. I wish I had a picture with everybody's name underneath it where I could pray with you. And now I have to pray for you, generally. In other words, I pray for all of you. Oh, God, speak to the people of Bear Trail Baptist Church. You bless them. You meet their needs. You protect them. Oh, God, move on their hearts when preaching time comes, when the singing comes, when Sunday school comes. Oh, God, bless our church. I pray for you in general. because I don't know your names, all of you. But now listen, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, if we can get together on this thing, if we can be all in one place praying, and I'm gonna give you points here, in one place praying, we can see a difference. It ain't about making a show. It ain't about being seen. It's about God speaking to you. And if God speaks to you and God speaks to me and God's, this place will be filled with His presence. Now that's one of the great things I enjoy about this church is the presence of God. The presence of God. Now watch this. They prayed with supplication, which means over and over and over again. They were praying for the Spirit and it to come and for God to move over and over and over again. Now, here's my first point. The preacher is praying for his people. Now, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. Now, the preacher went in very much detail about this a few weeks ago, about him praying for you and desiring you to pray for him. Romans chapter 1. Verse number 9. Romans chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible says right here, for God, this is Apostle Paul talking, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now everybody look up here and everybody listen. If you don't think your preacher prays for you, you got a hole in your head. I'll guarantee you he labors for you. I'll guarantee you he prays for everybody in this church by name, just like I did when I was pastor. Oh, God bless them. Oh, God meet their needs. Oh, God protect them. Oh, God move on their hearts when it comes preaching and teaching time. Our preacher prays for us. He prays for us. He prays for us. That encourages me to know that my preacher loves me enough to pray for me. And it ought to encourage you. He prays for us. Religiously. Daily. Calls our name out to God for us. Now, I don't know if that does anything for you, but boy, that blesses my gizzard, amen. Somebody said, you ain't got a gizzard, brother. I know that. I'm just preaching right now. Amen. We're too serious about this thing. We've got to try. Hey, look. You might as well have a little fun while you're at church, amen. Now, the preacher, point number one, I actually got three on here, but I tried the point. The preacher is praying for us. And then in Philippians, we're not going to turn there because of time. Philippians chapter 1, 4 says the same thing, but we are going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 22. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 22. I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 22 to 24. I love these verses right here. I actually have this on the top of my prayer list. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 to 24. One of my favorite things in church is to hear the flipping of Bible pages. Boy, I love that. All right. Has everybody got it? All right, here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number let's see what I've got wrote down here. Verse number 22, it says, for the Lord will not forsake His people. Now, I know, everybody look up here. Boy, I'm afraid I'm going to have a spell, preacher. See, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may truly be furnished with all good works. It said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God breathed it. The all Scripture. Does that mean Old Testament? Sure it does. Man, we need to quit making light of the Old Testament and the truth therein. Hey, look, the whole holy days and the ceremonies of the Jewish people. That don't apply to us, but every bit of the truth does. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you that God will not forsake His people. Now, we have a verse about that. I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. A little country teaching and preaching this morning. Now, watch this. All right, verse number 22, it says, for the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. This just come off the cuff. Everybody look up here. God's not going to forsake you because of who you are and what you've done or didn't do. He's not going to forsake you because of who. Woo! Now, boy, I'm starting to get excited right there. Amen. Hey, look, we're not worthy to have the blessings that we have. We're not worthy for God to love us like He loved us, but He's going to not forsake us because of who He is, not because of who we are. Woo, I'm having fun this morning. Now watch this. All right. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Now I know this is the Old Testament. I know it's the Jews. But in the New Testament, it's us. See, the Old Testament is revealed in the New, and the New Testament is concealed in the Old. His people was the Jewish nation. Man, this thing's going to kill you one of these days. His people was the Jewish nation, but now His people is everybody the same. Ain't that good? Woo, that helps me, amen. All right, now watch this. I'm going to have to hurry. 23, moreover, as for me, this is Samuel talking, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord, ceasing to pray for you, that's God's people, and I will teach you good, the good in the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, or consider how great things He hath done for you. Now look here. Samuel says, I'm going to pray for you. The preacher prays for his people. He prays for us. Countless other things. And then he's going to instruct us in the right way. I don't know about you, but if there was a rattlesnake back there right outside the door, and one of these boys is standing out there and they seen the rattlesnake and they opened the door and didn't say anything, that ain't love. Amen. So when the preacher instructs you in the right way, you ought to love him for it. Because he loves you, and that's the reason he's doing it. Amen? But see, Samuel said, God forbid that I'd sin against you by not praying for you. I promise you this morning that God's man prays for his people. He labors for you. He worries about you, which he shouldn't do, but all preachers do. But he calls your name out. I guarantee you he calls your name out. Now watch this. Number two. The people will be praying for the preacher. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. Now, in the New Testament, in the epistles, over and over and over again, it talks about these two things. Paul requesting prayer, him praying for us, and then us praying for him. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. The Bible says, now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren. That's what that word beseech means. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now listen, brethren. We have a duty to pray for our preacher. We need to pray for him. We need to pray that God protects him. We need to pray that God provides for him. We need to pray that God fills him and uses him and gives him guidance and wisdom and understanding, because the Bible says that he watches for our soul. Now what does that mean? That means that sheep, which is a picture of you and I, sometimes are too stupid to know what they ought to do and where they ought to go. And then God moves on the preacher and gives him leadership to correct us and to direct us. We need to pray for the preacher that God would protect him and provide for him. Of course, we need to do our job about providing too, amen. Hey, the Bible plainly teaches, man, I got to hurry, that the preacher is worthy of his hire. If he labors in word and doctrine, he's worthy of double honor. Now, I don't know what's going on around here. Nobody's ever told me, but if we ain't looking after the preacher, we need our tails wore out. Amen? Pardon that expression. Some of you understood that perfectly. Amen? Others of you thought, well, that's a little, this is church, preacher. Well, I'm just a carpenter, amen. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that we need to pray for our preacher that God would bless him, that God would fill him, that God would use him, that God would anoint him and give him guidance and wisdom and understanding, because he watches for our soul, that he may keep us safe. I don't know about you, but I need that. Now, I'm sure y'all are not like I am. Don't need a little help once in a while about direction. You know, you think you know everything. None of y'all like that, right? Well, you might be starting to think about something that it ain't part of God's will. And God will move on him to correct you. Ain't that something the way the Spirit works? God will move on him as he watches for your soul. Not that he knows what's going on. He may not know what's going on. He may not have seen anything or any indicator. But just the Holy Ghost give him witness and guidance to help you and to protect you. Why do we need to be in the same place? The preacher needs to be praying for us, and we need to be praying for the preacher. And then, Lord have mercy. All right, I'm going to have to hurry. Then we need to be praying for each other. Turn to Job chapter 42, verse number 10. Job 42, verse number 10. I ain't like a preacher. I need to get done. It'll eat me alive if I don't get this truck unloaded. All right, now watch this. I love this point. Job chapter 42, verse number 10. Now I'm going to go ahead and read it. I know some of you are still looking, but I'm pressed for time. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Captivity, the state of being under control, the state of being in siege by your circumstances. Now, most of you are familiar with the story of Job. He lost everything, all of his cattle, his family, he lost everything. But the Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. The best thing you can do for your personal life is pray for your friends. Number one, your friends need it. The preacher is praying for us, and we're praying for the preacher, and then we're praying for each other because we want God to meet with us. We want God to stir us by in praying for your friends. You unleash your own life from captivity of whatever's got you bound. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. It blesses me. Now notice. That was me checking the time. Now notice. His friends tried to find fault in him. But he prayed for them. Amen. And God turned his captivity. But how about us? We're not looking down our nose at each other. And we pray for you that God, or each other, that God will bless you. And then God releases us from our own captivity. That's one of the strongest verses in the Bible about getting the blessings of God on your life. I'm going to pray for you selfishly where I can get what I need. Amen. That's basically what the Bible teaches. If you pray for your praying, I'm going to unloose you. I'm going to loose you and let you go. Amen. I don't know about you, but that stirs me, amen. So the preacher's praying for us, and we're praying for the preacher, and then we're praying for each other. You say, preacher, why is that so important? If you're praying for each other, you ain't going to be finding fault in each other. If you're humbling your heart before God and praying for each other, you're not going to be looking to find fault with each other. And if you do have fault, What's going to be more important to you is for God to move on us. So you just let them little old things go.
Yes, sir.
Amen? They ain't even important. You know what's important? God moving on us. They were all in one place. The preacher praying for us, us praying for the preacher, us praying for each other. Now, I know the preacher prays for me. I hope you're praying for me. Why? Because I need it. And you need to be released from your own captivity, your own trials and your own troubles in your own life. And the way you can get that done is pray for me. Hallelujah. Pray for me. Amen. You say that's kind of, that's the truth. Now, if I don't stir you and light your fire, something your wood's wet, amen. All right, now, I got 3 minutes to finish. They were all in one place. We need to all be in one place. The preacher praying for us praying for the preacher, us praying for each other. It's hard. Hey, look, brethren. You ain't going to be looking to find fault or criticizing somebody if you're praying for them every day. The Holy Ghost is going to hammer you where you can pray for them because they need it. And you need it. Ain't that good? Right, now watch this. The last thing here. It might be the last thing. People praying for each other. All right. And now I'm not going to read it. But you can write it down if you want to. Psalms 143 verses 1 through 8. David was telling God how he needed him. How he needed him to speak to him. How he needed him to guide him. I'm not going to read it because of time. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, if the preacher's praying for us, and we're praying for the preacher, and we're praying for each other, and then we're begging God to move on us, God's going to fill this room with His presence, and God's going to stir us, and that's exactly what we need. Illustration, I'll be done. Now, why do we need it? Let me tell you this is my application. Because Lot was vexed by the evil deeds of the wicked. Everywhere we turn, everything we do, the evil deeds of the wicked just bombarding us, torturing us, pressing us down. Them things that you have on your phone, you look at that advertisement. Wickedness everywhere we turn, television, advertisement. I mean, wicked out in the world. I mean, with the evil deeds of the wicked is torturing us and vexing us and pushing us down and down and down and down. And we need God to move on us to where all that stuff will fall off. I told the preacher, it's my personal testimony. When I come into this place, all that hurt and all the disappointment, when we start singing those songs, it just melts away. It just melts away. And when I leave, I'm refreshed. And for the first month or two, boy, I couldn't hardly wait to get here because I needed that stuff to melt away. I was vexed by the evil deeds of the wicked. But as we come in and we sing, and we praise and we worship, then all that stuff that's going on in our life melts away. So David, a man after God's own heart, needed God to move on him and to speak to him. And if a man after God's own heart needs that, you need that.
Right.
So we can have, hey, look, I mean, y'all don't tell nobody. We got the best opportunity to have real revival of anybody that I know. Everything's in place. We've got the preacher. We've got the spirit-filled song leader. We've got a politician that takes you to Sunday school. Now that's a compliment. That's not criticism. I'm talking about Jordan. And we believe the Bible right. We believe the outreach right, the zeal right, the standards right, the home right. Everything with God's right. All we need is God to meet with us, amen. And if we're praying for the preacher, and the preacher's praying for us, and we're praying for each other, then the strife and the jealousy and the criticism, all that's going to be gone. And it's going to give the Spirit of God liberty to come in and stir us, and that's exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us now. Oh, God, as simple as this little thought is, so profound and so powerful. If the preacher's praying for us, we're praying for him, and we're praying for each other, and then we're praying for you to move on us, it will give the Spirit of God.